We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up and welcome into the latest OBR Film Breakdown. Jake Burns here, Andrew Spade. We are going to talk about, you know, there's some news, Andrew. We got some news. Been quiet. Obviously, everything is building toward a draft that is now, what, actually a week away. This would be draft day next week. So we obviously are spending time talking about that, going to continue to do so over the next few days. But there's some Browns bigger news that we should hit on, specifically Andrew Berry press conference. They made a signing on the offensive line. We'll get to both of those topics. We should start, though, on the fact that the Browns made a big deal. And I guess what that would be my lead in here, Andrew, is they bring the white face mask back. They bring the glossed finish back to the helmet. It's a fantastic helmet. But goodness, did they make a big deal out of the helmet? Did they make too big a deal out of changing this helmet, or are you okay with it because they finally got it correct?
It's a good question. This is kind of what these marketing departments exist for, right? Is to make a big deal out of things that aren't a big deal, I guess. Like, we're a few weeks away from the schedule release, and the new thing since the Chargers innovated this a few years ago is every team now is under immense pressure to come up with a schedule release video that is in some way entertaining.
It is.
So I kind of see all of this stuff for the same. It's like, it's a little bit background noise, and it's a little bit like giving these folks something to work on in the off season when they're not busy with selling season tickets. But I guess all of this probably rolls up to selling season tickets.
Job security, right?
The Browns have any season tickets to sell anyway, but the one thing I'll say about it is that I thought that it was the closest that the Browns have come to really embracing the fact that the helmet doesn't have a logo as being distinct and unique amongst 32 NFL teams. And that has always been my preferred, I guess, marketing strategy, if you want to say it that way. Like, I think that the Browns are a unique football team in a few different ways. And that's one of them, right? Because I think there was a very real possibility when they moved to Baltimore that the team that came back as a updated whatever version of them that had a logo and maybe even changed the name and did some different things that would make them a little bit more in line with, you think about the other teams that were expansion franchises around the same time, right? The Carolina Panthers, Jacksonville Jaguars, the Houston Texans. Those teams, all three of them, have a complete black hole at the center of their identity because they're the product of sort of more modern marketing, naming, focus group type stuff. And it just feels like nothing. It feels like an empty plastic bag. And the Browns, I think, were close to going that direction. And then obviously they had that disastrous uniform rebrand, almost a decade ago now, that was, I think, a real wake-up call that, like, this new ownership group doesn't really understand this team at all.
Right.
And I'm heartened that the video that they put out, the way that they've done this, feels more in line with the historical Browns team that we knew before they left for Baltimore.
There's a couple elements that stand out to me, right? Is they, the first thing I thought of when they're like, we're returning to this era in Browns football, which is, I think, like what, 1970 to 1995, they started wearing the white face, 75 to 95. And they keep pointing that out. And I'm like, you guys also came back with that exact helmet. Are you just going to ignore the 99 to 05 run? Yeah, I think that probably makes some sense. Even though they made the playoffs, they had some respectable teams in that first early portion of the return, right? But it's just like kind of convenient that they leave that part out. They went to the gray face mask in like 06, I believe, and have been away from the white face mask forever. I'm not taking credit here, Andrew, but I did fire off a 2017 tweet about Kelly Holcomb in the orange pants, white jersey, the great helmet with the white face mask. And I'm like, this is the look. And so I don't know.
Receipts.
I don't know if it like circulated inside the building and someone brought it out of a drawer and showed J.W. Johnson here, who's clearly the leader in all this uniform stuff. Like, hey, this is what a really smart Twitter mind said, and we should pay attention to it. But I have always thought there are people that don't agree with this, Andrew, that think the gray or the brown is a better look. I've always thought the white face mask was a better look. I think the thing that was surprising to me is how much more I like it on the glossed helmet than the matte finish helmet. And because, you know, they wore it over the last, what, 2 years. They wore it once last year, Pittsburgh game, and then they wore it in the Ravens game in 22, I believe. So they'd been flirting with it. I think that they probably do the rounds on social media to see what people say and kind of get a feeler out for the reaction. So I think that it's a good helmet. It's a great helmet. The gloss finish, like I said, when I saw it on the new edition of the Rydell helmets and stuff, like as clean as it gets, leaning into having one of the best helmets you'll see. And I like, this is another weird thing, but the chin straps in the NFL are all white. You know, you go to different colleges and different high schools, they vary the chin strap color. I think if the Browns chin strap was the brown that the helmet was before, I probably would like it a little bit more. That's a strange thing, but like when you see it, I've seen some renditions of this with like making it the same color. It looks so much better. So I think I like the white the most because, you know, the NFL has always been a white chin strap helmet setup. So that's a little piece of it. But again, the thing I was surprised the most about with seeing it was the gloss finish just really makes it stand out. And I think it ends up being really clean. The thing that's interesting is the NFL's new rule, which we talked about a week or so ago, which you can now have this third helmet. We presume the Browns are going to do the white helmet, also the white helmet with now a white face mask based on that Juan Thornhill leaked photo we saw. I'd be curious because I didn't mind the brown face mask on that white helmet, but the all white might look really cool. The third helmet question is like people going crazy with designs and logos. And I think it's just as simple as that number decal on the side that they were using 06 to 08 and they brought back as a part of the 75th anniversary edition. I think it's just a different look, a little white stripe down the middle of the helmet, right? I think it's a pretty cool look. I don't think you need to change anything else. Like, I think we had the conversation in Slack about, could you put like the Bengals 1970s uniforms had that Bengals script on the side. It'd actually be kind of cool if the Bengals brought that back as a part of what they could do now. But I was curious, like the Browns have that little logo, the script Browns on the white part of the helmet at the very forehead. I think most generic helmets just say Rydell there or whatever brand it is. But the NFL lets you kind of customize that. I was curious what that would look like on the side. But when you see it put together, it kind of looks, just kind of looks strange. And I think you're probably ruling out a third helmet with any sort of decal, right?
Probably, but I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, I don't know. I want to give them credit for doing this well, while at the same time remembering some of the other stuff that has gone on recently that has been not in line with this. And I think part of it is that they're trying to appeal to multiple different demographics simultaneously. And so this helmet, the white face mask, is really more about the sort of core fan experience for people that have been with the team for a long time. But then last year you've got the voting for the, or was it 2 years ago, for the dog logo that was, you know, pretty catastrophic. I think that there's been some stuff like Jake Paul was in the building at one point, you know, like, so there's like, it feels kind of like there's a push pull thing happening here. And
right.
I understand that. I also think it's okay to say when they do things well in this arena that feels like they get like the majority of fans, and also have some respect for what the team has been for 70 years or whatever it is now. While at the same time, then when they fall short of that mark and have some of these more strange partnerships where it feels like they're maybe overreaching, or they feel often, as I've said before, they feel like the stepdad that wants to be liked too much at times. When they go that direction, I think you just reserve the right to say, like, okay, guys, I mean, let's just calm down a little bit maybe and take a few weeks off.
They've gone on a heater with the uniforms of getting it right. It's not difficult, because just going back to traditional look is all you had to do. I mean, the same thing's happening across the league. The Jets got it right, going back, simplifying what they tried to do in a more modern way. They simplified it. They tested it last year. Here's a throwback uniform. Oh, okay, everybody loves it. Let's make it our full-time. The Lions leaks today are going back to the more 1990s Barry Sanders-esque uniforms, which I think is pretty damn awesome. Again, some of this, Andrew, I wonder if it's like nostalgia makes you just want these old uniforms that you grew up watching, whereas like in 15, 20 years, are we going to be, you know, sort of yearning for the Browns to do something like they did before, or another organization is going to do this where they're like, we had this 2005 uniform that we really loved and bring that back. Or is it, I just wonder if that's going to happen, or if these teams are figuring out, like, we flirted with this crazy idea and it didn't work, and let's just let this be who we are. Because teams are turning, you could agree with me, teams are turning these over at, like, what is it, the 5-year grace period? They're figuring out they have to get it right inside of those parameters. But you didn't see teams move off of uniforms as quickly as it feels like we are now. Maybe it's because the feedback is faster, probably on social stuff like that. I think the next team to come up is the Broncos, and we'll see what they do if they go back to that more traditional, like, royal blue and some of that stuff. Maybe that old, like, what was it, the Bronco with the shooting nostril thing, the old logo. So I just find the return to some of those things that we enjoyed in our, you know, sort of our youth growing up with these teams is sort of where all of them are trending. You know what I mean?
Right. I think that the overall trend is, for 20 years or so, there was a homogenization of the look of all of these teams, so that it was all like flowing lines. And, you know, like they took, like you just mentioned, the Bronco, they took a very like somewhat realistic drawing of a Bronco and made it this sort of stylized, sleek, fast looking. So it looks like a car instead of a horse, and that was the trend around the league. And I think people are realizing that if everybody's uniforms look the same, then there's nothing that you really can stand on with your team. And I think that there's like a larger conversation there, obviously, about the implications of that for marketing of all types. Like, being different and being distinctive is not bad. And there are not enough people in positions of like design that understand that. And so the first thing everybody wants to do when they quote unquote update or modernize is to homogenize the look with everything else in the league. And it almost always fails, because now you feel like the Browns are just kind of another entry in a long list of expansion teams, rather than a very distinctive. I mean, the Browns, as we've talked about, have the most distinctive visual identity on the field of any team in the NFL. That's the most important thing about them from a marketing perspective.
Agreed. Agreed. And a little bit of what you're talking about, there's kind of like in general home and like not fashion so much, but like everything with interior decorating is that way. Like, everything's going to this modern approach and this very minimalistic thing. And it's like, you're losing some of that challenge or creativity that used to be in place, and now you're getting everything that looks the same. Rigid designs. I don't know, we're out in left field here with my area of expertise, but I've thought that with seeing like room makeovers and stuff like that. I'm like, all of these look the same. Like, everyone's following a similar pattern here, and you're losing some of that piece of what, you know, helps you identify
character.
And stand out.
You're losing character, because character rests on this definable differences. And if you don't have any of those, you mentioned like interior design, if your kitchen is just like one smooth white surface, then, you know, it looks like the bridge of the Star Trek Enterprise or whatever. It's like, okay, well, that's what everybody's kitchen looks like now. It's very clean. I congratulate you on how clean your kitchen is, but it looks like every other kitchen that we've seen for the past 10 years. So yeah, same thing basically. Right. And I think to go back to the beginning, kudos to the Browns for embracing a little bit of the idiosyncrasies of the uniform. I almost made up a new word there on the fly.
Well, and it's like now, though, the Browns are honed in. Perfect. Maybe you introduce an orange jersey again. You do some little things here and there. But you're the Cowboys, you're the Steelers, you're the 49ers. You stop messing with this. Like, this is it.
Well said. Yes, that's it.
The perfect look. So stop feeling a need to tinker with it.
Yeah, the dish is done. The pizza is baked. Do not keep adding anchovies.
That's right, man. The proper comparison. They've nailed it. Let's hope they keep it that way. Pretty simple stuff. Let's take a quick break. Word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a lowly podcaster like me, the world is starting to understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. The NFL has been placing a larger emphasis in this area, especially that mental well-being. The Browns are leading the charge in this as well, trying to get their players to the right physical and mental peak every day. And that's what Unified Healing System is trying to do, and they're a proud sponsor of the OBR Film Breakdown. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE Systems. If you haven't heard of EE Systems yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're in Cleveland or Columbus like me, or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/OBR. Again, that's unified with a YD, unifiedhealing.com/OBR, to learn more and find a center near you. A reminder, no material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system. All right, moving on. Browns today make a signing of the offensive line. A little thing, a very minor thing, probably something many people didn't know. I think I mentioned it the other day. Justin Murray, who was on the practice squad, a tackle, depth tackle, retired. So that left an open void for some sort of offensive line addition if the Browns wanted to do so, and especially since they traded away Leroy Watson. So they're a little bit of a tackle situation for the immediate, Andrew. So not necessarily the season. We all know we expect everybody to be back, but they're dealing with a bunch of guys rehabbing, their top three guys getting back from surgery, and they have to go through OTAs with, you know, a first-team offense, a second-team offense. You probably want a third-team offense out there. Same for minicamps. You need bodies. And they go out and sign a name that most people know, right, which is Jermaine Ifedi, who was a former first-round pick, 2016. I think he was the 31st pick of that draft, went to the Seahawks, played with the Seahawks, initially started at right guard for them, although he came out as an offensive tackle for those Johnny Manziel Texas A&M teams, right? He was there with Mike Evans for a little bit. I think they had the Matthews. Was it Jake Matthews was the other tackle? I could Absolutely. Be wrong. Or is it Luke Matthews? I can't remember. But the other tackle was, yeah, he was taken earlier. So those teams put out a bunch of first-round picks back then. And, yeah, this is a player that's well-traveled, though. Didn't work out for him. Seahawks started right guard, played right tackle the next 3 years after that first year at right guard, and didn't go as you would hope. Had a year of starting in Chicago in 2020 and 2021, played a little more sparingly in 21, then ends up with Atlanta, where he has a couple snaps in 22, and then was last year with the Bills on the active roster for some weeks, but never got on the field. So to me, Andrew, it is just a likely a body to go through and get through the offseason here. But I would imagine the way that this is framed for him, hey, we have James Hudson, we have Akeem Adeniji, we have guys who are fighting for that tackle ability, guard ability spot. If you come in here and blow it up, have a fantastic summer with us in whatever fashion they're going to put him through, whether that's, you know, playing early reps with rotating through, or, you know, coming in for training and whatever, if it's really good for you, we could have a spot. You could outside shot of making the active roster. If you're really good for us, fit in, do what you're supposed to do, impress us in live drills. And then there's a chance to make the practice squad. I imagine that's a chance to make the practice squad probably really matters to him, because that's still a paycheck and a way, a pathway to still get to some active roster stuff the way he was for Buffalo last year. So as far as former first round pedigree and all of that stuff, I think it's probably a fine swing. It's probably nothing that matters to this year, but it is a roster move that is noteworthy and worth at least discussing.
It's very funny to see the Browns kind of really I wouldn't say overcorrecting necessarily, because I don't think we criticized them for having not enough depth at quarterback or tackle last year, but those were the two areas that had the most impact on the season last year in terms of the instability at those positions. And they are not going to be caught in that position this year at those positions. Right. So that's the thing to me about this. Like, the Murphy's Law piece of this, Jake, is that probably you go into the season with like 6 qualified left tackles and 4 quarterbacks, and then you lose your 2 starting corners the first 2 weeks of the season. And now you're starting Tony Brown and Justin Hardy at outside corner by week 5. So it'll just be a different position. That's kind of my cynical take on trying to build a team so deep that you never have to sign a player off the street and have them play. But it does seem, I mean, what I would say is, if Ifedi and Adeniji can both end up on the practice squad, you have probably the best offensive line depth in the league if you can keep your younger players on the roster.
Right.
Because if they draft a tackle, that's 4.
We think they will. I mean, between those 2 picks, slightly.
I agree. I think so. You've got, I mean, Jones, Conklin, Wills, the draft pick is 4. So if you're trying to keep one of Hudson or Ifedi, and maybe it's a situation that we talked about before where they feel like if we keep either of them on the practice squad, that's good enough. So we'll cut them both and one of them will find their way to the practice squad. I imagine Ifedi, at this point, he's been in the league long enough that he's not subject to waivers. So that's what it feels like to me, is that it's basically veteran depth. But at a certain point, there's a cap on how many players on your practice squad can have more than 2 or 3 accrued seasons. So if you're thinking about Huntley being one of those players, Ifedi being another one, maybe Adeniji, you're running out of room for other veteran players at other spots. So very interesting just in terms of roster construction, because it's strange to see a player signed before the draft and your initial instinct is this player doesn't have a spot on this team.
It's exactly right, because you see the name, you see the pedigree. Oh, okay. He's got a chance. He's going to be, but maybe not. Maybe this guy will just be a body this summer and then be gone. I mean, again, speaks to the frame of reference with where the Browns are as an organization, where this sort of like Greg Robinson type of signing that we saw years ago is like, okay, let's get a pathway here where Ifedi makes the roster. It's easy to see, right? You can compete. Here it's like, no, I mean, it's probably summer situation, maybe a practice squad best possible outcome, but hard to see him being involved. That's a great point about shifting and adjusting how we see these guys versus the way that we saw some of these reclamation projects happening 5 years ago or so, where the Browns were thin. It is also funny, this overcorrection at tackle, because they had a little bit of an overcorrection at defensive tackle, if you recall, where they were like, we're going to sign Tristan Hill and Maurice Hurst and all these different names. And we were at that point like, these guys are going to duke it out. They're just going to figure it out. And it worked, and it did. But like, you're trying to figure out how the depth works at some of these spots. They did a little bit of it with running back, signing a couple of these guys ahead of the draft. I respect it. But to your point, and we're knocking on wood here, hoping that this doesn't come to fruition, we're just going to pick, like, the NFL injury gods are going to pick like linebacker this upcoming year, because maybe you haven't invested like enough spots there for a linebacker.
You can't be 12 deep at every position or 4 deep or whatever. Like, if you get a boatload of injuries at one position in the NFL, chances are it will to go a long way towards submarining your season. That's just how, that's the math of the whole thing. So I'm not complaining about it. I understand why Andrew Berry is doing it. And I think if you want to be deep at two positions, you'd probably choose offensive tackle and quarterback. And he addressed this, by the way, in the press conference today. He said, it's very hard to find offensive linemen that you want to play that you can add in season, right? Like, I mean, he didn't say the that you want to play part, but I think it, you can infer that based on the fact that Garon Christian was the starting left tackle down the stretch, right? Like they know how thin these positions are. And I guess, you know, you mentioned Justin Murray retiring. They did also trade Leroy Watson to the Titans. So they actually have been down two tackles from where they were a few weeks ago, which I kind of just putting those two pieces together now. But that it makes sense in terms of just having six guys that can play, and that's where they are now.
Speaking of Andrew Berry, we need to go through a little bit more of what he had to say, but there's no doubt that he sat around that office right after the season and saying, what are we not letting happen again next year? Oh, this is one of them. So you're not just going to bring in people you've never heard of. We're going to bring in guys who we think have a chance if we need them to play to keep them around, et cetera. So yeah, quite clearly a strategy going into this offseason we're seeing play out in real time. All right, we will have more on the Andrew Berry press conference and all that went with that tomorrow on the show. It'll be up first thing tomorrow morning. So until then, appreciate you guys stopping by, listening to today's podcast. We will have, like I said, all the reaction and thoughts around what Andrew Berry had to say at his press conference and plenty more. And then we'll have something up from our Twitch draft show. Pete Smith and I, and I think Ian Valentino, will be getting together to discuss some guys in depth tonight. So that'll be a second podcast available for you tomorrow afternoon. So stop by, hang out, listen to Andrew and I talk about Andrew Berry, and then we'll have some more stuff up in the afternoon. Really busy stuff. The OBR is staying busy around the draft. Make sure you are checking out the site. Appreciate you guys hanging out, making this podcast part of your day. Rate and review if you can. Always appreciate that, guys. Be well. Have a fantastic day. Go Browns.